Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. A Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gifts of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Nobody had a drink. The whole point of Jesus coming to that well, it seems, was after his journey he was thirsty. And the woman coming in the heat of the day was thirsty. And they both finished the scene with neither of them actually having gotten any water. Jesus says, "Give me a drink." And she ends up saying, "Please, I want this drink you speak of." But nowhere in that gospel does it mention either Jesus or this woman actually taking a drink. But they both went away so satisfied. The gospel is telling us that there's a deeper thirst that both Jesus and this woman have. Something deeper. One of the most formative books I've ever read when I was about 20 was a book called Mother Teresa's Secret Fire. We all know Mother Teresa. We all love Mother Teresa. She astounds me that she is one of the women in all of history that I know of that every person in the world immediately has to say, yes, she is amazing. We love her. Every faith, every background would arguably immediately say, that woman, something about her is just incredible. And some might think of her as just, yeah, Mother Teresa, she just served the poor, a social activist, doing the right thing. Very true, absolutely. But Mother Teresa's secret fire speaks of something so much deeper about her that drove Mother Teresa to go out and serve the poor, to go out to those who are lonely and dying, to go and find those in the streets who are too weak to even pick the maggots from their wounds, doing the hardest, dirtiest work for love, for a deeper reason. Mother Teresa would speak of the rest of her life, of September 10th, 1946, being Inspiration Day. That was the start of her secret fire, of her deeper thirst. She was on a train ride when she had a vision of Jesus Christ. And for years, she was so shy to mention what happened on that day. But later in life, about 50 years later, she started to hint and mention what happened. To my knowledge, she never shared the full depth of everything what it was. But she shared, that was the day Jesus gave her a vision of his thirst. Throughout her life, she became obsessed with the thirst of Jesus. Like that woman who encountered Jesus at the well, who said, "Give me a drink." Like Mary Magdalene, Mary, John the Beloved, at the foot of the cross, who encountered Jesus Christ saying, "I thirst." Mother Teresa encountered Jesus and his thirst for souls. And Mother Teresa said, "Jesus' thirst is to love and to be loved." The next year and a half, after September 10th, Mother Teresa would have visions of Jesus again and again, and three in particular marked her life. She first had a vision of all the poor surrounding Mother Teresa, crying out to her, telling Mother Teresa, "Please, bring us to Jesus." She would later have another vision of Mary surrounded by the poor. And Mary said, "Take care of them. They are mine. Bring them to Jesus. Carry Jesus to them. Fear not." And third and finally, she had a vision of Jesus on the cross, surrounded by the poor, but the poor didn't realize Jesus was there. And Jesus said to Mother Teresa, "I have asked you, they have asked you, and she, my mother, has asked you, will you refuse to do this for me, to take care of them, to bring them to me?" Jesus slowly invited Mother Teresa into his thirst, into a mission particular for her, to care for the absolute poorest. And Jesus would tell her, "They don't know me, so they don't want me. Jesus shared from the depths of his heart his thirst to Mother Teresa, and our mission to go and proclaim that thirst, that Jesus thirsts to love and he thirsts to be loved by each heart and by the poorest. It's not just Mother Teresa. Many, many saints, St. Augustine especially, says, God thirsts to be thirsted for by man. But the image of God's thirst, when we thirst for water, truly thirst, it's all we think about. We long for it, and we would give anything for it. And that is God's thirst for each person. That it's a thirst that would do anything for it. A thirst that occupies God's mind constantly for each soul. And a thirst that is a longing for each of us. As Catholics, we hear again and again that love is the choice to do the good. We've heard the definition of love as to will the good of the other. And that is very true. But it's not just self-sacrifice. It's not just wanting the good, but the love of God is also desire. St. Paul says, God proves his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we can easily make the mistake. We think that while sinners, Christ did the job for us. Christ had what it takes to do the hard work. Fine, true, okay. But while we were still sinners, Christ actually desired us. Christ actually desired us enough, thirsted for us, enough to go to the cross. That his desire and his self-sacrifice are intertwined. That we cannot speak of the love of Christ without speaking of his thirst. A thirst to the point of giving everything. The woman at the well encountered Jesus in his thirst, saying, give me a drink. His thirst to be loved, his thirst to love each soul. And Jesus, in his genius, just mentioned his thirst briefly and immediately drew her thirst and drew her to notice her thirst deeper and deeper. As soon as he mentions his thirst, saying, give me a drink, he starts to mention her thirst. How she longs for that water that will not make her be quenched again. Then she mentions her five husbands, not to shame her, but to go deeper. And then he reveals who he is, the chosen one, the Messiah, that he is the one that she has thirsted for so long. And so with our hearts, he first mentions his thirst for each of us. His desire to love us and his desire to be loved by us. And then he will mention our desires and our hearts, and he will draw us deeper and deeper. This time of Lent, we're going away from our surface desires, like the woman at the well first had. Jesus is mentioning those, and then he just pushes them aside, inviting us to go deeper. The deeper thirst, the living water. This Lent, he's calling us to go deeper, to notice his thirst. The last thing, his thirst is something we cannot ignore. And it's really uncomfortable, because his thirst for us is something that's intimate. His thirst for us is something that demands a response. When we would rather do our own thing, in the face of his thirst, his desire for our hearts, it demands us to respond in a certain way. His thirst is an intimacy that is a little jarring, that we cannot ignore. And it draws us into our hearts that truthfully isn't satisfied with an easier life. He draws us deeper into our deeper desires for happiness, to give our lives away. A thirst for love, a thirst for him, that nothing will satisfy except his thirst. In Mother Teresa's words, Jesus himself must be the one to say to you, I thirst. Hear your own name. I thirst is something much deeper than just Jesus saying, I love you. Until you know deep inside that Jesus thirsts for you, you cannot begin to know who he wants to be for you, or who he wants you to be for him. Jesus thirsts even now in your heart and in the poor. He wants only your love, wants only the chance to love you. Hear him. Hear your own name.